It's just about that time. We are recording this call for posterity for the folks who can't make it tonight. Hi, it's Anna. How's everybody doing? Of course, you can't answer me because I've muted you, but that's only because so there's not background interference. I am very excited to do this call. It is 6 o'clock on the nose, 9 o'clock Eastern, and all the other times in between. I hope everybody's kicking ass and having a wonderful evening. I am very excited to do this call because I wanted to say to you guys, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for ordering the book, for pre-ordering the book, for getting the numbers up on the book, Eat Happy. I really appreciate it. I was hoping that the hard copy would be uploaded today for sale, but it's still not. We're waiting for Amazon to approve it. So the hard copy's in the system. It hasn't been printed yet, but it's in the system, and we are waiting for Amazon to approve the language so that it can go up for sale. And then, you know, of course, I'm going to be singing it to the hills, and I hope that you guys tell all of your friends. And for those of you who want a hard copy, it should be available soon. So I want to thank you guys with this teleseminar, webinar, whatever. I guess it's not a webinar. It is definitely a teleseminar because we're calling in. And say thank you so much. So I'm going to go over some stuff. I'm going to go over a lot of stuff, hopefully, in the next hour. I talk kind of quickly, so, and without Vinny interrupting me, maybe I'll get through some stuff. Who knows? Maybe not. I don't know. I'll have him interrupting me in my head. So here's what I want to say. You guys are muted just so that we don't have background noise interference, but I want to let you guys know that if you have a question, if you need some clarity, I won't be able to get to everything because I've written out a huge outline of stuff I want to cover. But if you have a question, email your question to eathappycookbook@gmail.com, which is the same email that you've been getting these e-blasts from that tell you the teleseminar number to dial into. Even if you want to reply to that, you could do that. And Danielle is in charge. She is in charge of all those emails, and she's going to forward your questions to me. But hopefully I'll get to some things. And at the very end, I even have some questions that you guys asked in the big survey that I sent out a month and a half ago. A month or so ago. I'm going to be drinking water, too, because it's just me doing all the talking this time. Hold on. Hydration is so important. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Eat Happy Teleseminar. I don't know what else to call it, so I'm just going to call it that. Thank you again for purchasing the book. I really appreciate it. Do you see how I'm vamping here a little bit? I'm vamping until everybody can get on the call. Again, for those of you who just joined us, if you have questions that you want to ask about cooking without sugars and grains, staying the course of this way of eating, anything that comes up that you need clarity on, email your questions to eathappycookbook@gmail.com. I think we've already got a couple come in. But I have a lot of stuff to go over, so you know what? Let's just get started, shall we? Okay. You guys pre-ordered the cookbook, so you qualified for bonuses. If for some reason you didn't get your bonus, you should have all gotten the link to your bonuses. Your bonuses include a meal plan. It's 4 weeks of dinners, I like to call it. Dinner seems to be the meal that we most often bail on because it's the end of the day and we're tired, and if we don't have food set up, if we don't have our brains pre-planned, we have a tendency to bail on dinner and go get takeout, or we're so hungry, maybe we didn't eat enough for lunch. Dinner is the meal that gets the shank sometimes. So that's why I focus on 4 weeks of dinners. And I'm going to talk about my favorite dinners a little bit later. But I want to say this. I think that when you cut – now, let me give you some background reference, too. When I did the survey to you guys have filled it out, the majority of people are pretty familiar with NSNG, with no sugars, no grains. There are a few of you who haven't tried it, or maybe you've just dipped your toe. And then there are but most of you have been doing it for at least, I don't know, 6 weeks to 6 months. And then several of you have been doing it for much longer, and you're the more diehard fans who've been listening to the podcast for a very long time. So that I'm trying to come up with some stuff that'll be a good overview, but I am mostly focusing on the folks who are having a hard time sticking to things, who are maybe new to this and need some rejuvenation, because we have a tendency, once we find something that works, we repeat the same dinners over and over again. I know I do that. Because things just get easy. But sometimes you just need to hear what someone else's easy dinners are, and you get some inspiration. Okay, so here is what I'm going to ask you guys to do. I am going to ask that you guys do 7 days cutting out sugars and grains. Some of you maybe are already there, already doing it. I'm just asking, and I'm going to do it too. 7 days of what we call no life into living, because I want you to start to rewire your brains to be able to do this. And it's going to be, it's going to bring up some challenges, but it's also going to be easy, especially if you've been doing it a little while. So over these next, over the next week of doing this, it's, let me say, I originally tell people when they first talk about this with me, I tell them commit to 60 days. But I know 60 days is sometimes hard. But I say just try 7 days and see how you feel. You're going to notice a difference, right? And now that you guys have the cookbook, you have, you can make 7 days worth of food. It's there in front of you. And I know you guys have access to lots of other recipes. It's not like my cookbook's the only one. But we're talking about my cookbook right now, aren't we? Okay. So ideally, committing to 60 or even 30 days is great, but just do 7 days and just take everything that we're going to talk about over the next hour and kind of commit to reading your labels and cleaning out the temptation from the pantry and the fridge and committing to making dinner 7 days in a row, unless you know you have a social engagement and you have to go do that. I totally get it. But it becomes just too much of a habit to be like, eh, screw it, we're just going to get takeout. Eh, screw it, we're just going to order pizza. Eh, screw it, we're just going to go get drive-through. And if you would do 7 days, you're just going to feel so much better. I promise. Okay, so if you want to as well, you could take some measurements. If you wanted to take the tape measure, you know, you have to use a soft tape measure, not the tape measure that you use when your contractor comes over, or else you're going to hurt your skin. Use a tape measure and take your measurements, measure your inches. If you want to get on the scale, you can. That's not everybody's bag. I get it. And if you have recent blood work, too, that's always a good thing to take a look at, because you could take a look at after, do more blood work in maybe like 6 months after doing this. Pretty much everyone's been pleasantly surprised with their blood work who has been on this journey. So, okay, so the first thing that you need to do is meal plan. Before anything else happens, a meal plan has to happen. And the common complaint that Vinny and I get is that people don't have time to cook at home. And a part of me is like, I get it. But then another part of me is like, if you meal planned, you would be able to do it. It's kind of like when you start working out. You know you have to make time to do it, and you schedule it, and then eventually it becomes second nature. Eventually, cooking at home will just become second nature. Especially when you start making a steak at home that tastes just as good as going to the steakhouse, you're not going to want to spend $50 on a steak when you could spend $13 on a steak. Okay, meal planning is very important. I don't know what day of the week is your Sunday, but let's take Sunday because that's most people have the weekends off. Sundays and Thursdays are my favorite days to grocery shop, early Sunday morning and then on Thursday at some point. This is because I like to buy, for me personally, what works for me is buying about 3 to 4 days worth of meals at the grocery store. That's, for me, factors in my fickleness because I will change my mind. I don't feel like having chicken. I feel like eating this. You know what? That pork tenderloin, I don't even want to make that. I want to make this. So every 3 to 4 days going to the grocery store works for me. If you have to go to the grocery store just one day a week on Sunday and you have to stock up because you've got a big family and you've got to buy a pallet of ground turkey and a pallet of vegetables and all that stuff, I get it. And you have to freeze stuff, then meal planning becomes very, very important because what happens is that you will then have to make sure that you take out whatever you need to take out of the freezer every morning that's on your meal plan. So I would sit down and physically write out what you're going to make and make your grocery list from that. It seems silly, like, but don't put it in your head. Write it down and then use a magnet and put it on your fridge. Unless you have a super fancy fridge that's not magnetic, then good for you. All right. So when you go to the grocery store, you're going to take all this stuff, all your lists and everything. And the first thing I want you guys to think about are your pantry items. Your pantry items you shouldn't need to buy as much of. When you're making your grocery list, I want you to stand in your kitchen in front of your fridge and your pantry, and I want you to look for every single item. Don't trust that you have it. Oh, you know what? I bought pine nuts like a year ago, so I still have pine nuts left over, so I'm going to be just fine. No, I want you to physically open up your fridge, your freezer, your pantry, and make the list after you see each and every ingredient. You never know when you've run out of stuff or when something's expired. That's a little tip that it just comes from years of me screwing up, coming home from the grocery store going, oh, I didn't need to buy whatever that ingredient was, and then it turns out I either didn't have it or it was expired or it looked bad. So, and then you have to run back to the store, or in my case, send somebody to the store who is then very resentful of you for sending them to the store at a very busy hour. Going to the grocery store takes some time. I personally hate going to the grocery store after, oh, I don't know, 9 a.m. because I don't like crowds. I like going to the grocery store at like 7:30, 8 a.m. That's the time that works for me. On the weekend, I'm saying. I don't like huge crowds. I go out of my way to park super far away just so I don't have to deal with grocery store parking lots. Of course, that's why that Whole Foods parking lot song is so amazing on YouTube, because it's crazy and I can't deal with it. So when you go to the grocery store, just bake that time in, and if you have the anxiety factor of people at the store, I feel you. That's me too. Have your list with you. Yes, of course, if you're able to get more things off of your list, God bless you, but really stick to your list and get everything on your list and keep that meal plan up on the fridge. Now, grocery shopping, if you're sticking to your list, is going to be fairly painless unless they're out of something that you're looking for. Now, this is why I always say you guys can substitute proteins. You can substitute vegetables for vegetables. We're going to talk about substitutions later, but for example, the pistachio-crusted coriander salmon, I've actually made that at least a dozen times with chicken because I didn't have salmon on hand, or I got to the grocery store and it was all that like farm-raised salmon that was like dyed pink and it didn't look good. So I was like, screw it. I'll just make it with chicken and it tastes really good. So I want to encourage you guys to experiment with stuff. I know somebody wrote in the survey that they didn't have access to things like Manchego cheese at their grocery store. They didn't have fancy stuff like that. They didn't have pine nuts. So they use almonds instead of pine nuts, or they use Parmesan cheese instead of Manchego. That's fine. Do that. Don't be afraid to experiment. I know most of you said on the survey you're pretty good in a kitchen, so you should know what I'm talking about. But I'm just giving you, like, a permission slip. Like, it's okay. You can do that. So I would rather you look to, don't assume that the peanut butter that you've always bought is still has the same ingredients that it always has. You would be shocked how often they change formulations for anything processed. So just read the label, because you know that the hidden sugars on the processed foods is what, so they change the formulation, like in bacon or in peanut butter. That's off the top of my head. Even in some kind of soda waters that we think don't have any sugars, sometimes they change the formulation to add a weird kind of almond milk. Things like almond milk, soy milk, not soy milk, what's it called? Coconut creamer, things like that. Coconut cream that comes in the can. I had somebody write me on Twitter who was really upset that I suggested people eat coconut cream because it's filled with sugar. And I was like, well, not my coconut cream. And then he sent me a label, and sure enough, his was filled with sugar. So you have to read the label. Don't assume just because you bought it before that it's still not made with sugar. I just don't trust these food companies, guys. Okay, so make sure you read your labels. That's a little reminder there. We talked about Costco, yeah, taking stuff out of the freezer the night before. Oh, okay, so if you're doing this over the next 7 days, I've witnessed this with friends who have started to go NSNG, and as well as my husband now, who's really going full force. He says he's hungry, and I'm like, you shouldn't be hungry. That means you're not eating enough food and not eating enough fat. So this is something that Vinny talks about again and again on the podcast, but I would rather, over the next 7 days, I'd rather see you guys overeat a little bit of fat so that you can get over the learning curve and the paradigm shift of eating this way. I'd rather see you overeat a little bit over the next 7 days than to get into diet mindset and starve yourself. Please don't starve yourself. If you're hungry, go eat. Eat some olives, some salami, some cheese, some nuts. I know nuts, we can tend to overdo them, but just for the next 7 days, just to get you back into the swing of things, don't worry about it. I'd rather see you overeat the permissible foods than to be hungry and then quit after 2 days. So there, I just gave you a permission slip. Okay. Cleaning out, Vinny and I just recorded a podcast talking about cleaning out temptation from the pantry and fridge, so I won't go into huge detail about that because I know a lot of you guys listen to the podcast. Just do it. Just clean it out. Just throw it out. Yeah, I know you spent $3 on that gluten-free rice pasta, but throw it out. You don't need it. You're starting over from scratch, and frankly, actually, the gluten-free rice pasta is the least of the egregious things. If there's a, we all have cookies in our pantry. Cookies that aren't even that good, at least in my case, they're never that good because they're gluten-free store-bought cookies, and they're in the pantry because I'm thinking, well, you know, just in case I want like a cookie, like a habit. And you keep things that don't even taste that good and that certainly aren't good for you in the pantry. And then in a moment of weakness, you eat the thing and you're like, this doesn't even taste good, but I'm going to eat all of them. And I'm just imploring everybody to just throw it out. Get it out of the house. What you're going to do, you're going to shift your paradigm. You're going to rewire your brain and you're going to get full off of real food. You're going to eat happy and you're going to get full off of real food, and you're not going to need to succumb to those temptations. And then when you do, clock those cravings. When you have those cravings, I want you to note it. I want you to say to yourself, ooh, it's happening. It's happening right now. Just be a little casual observer. Don't worry. I'm going to let you fulfill the craving. But I just want you to first, before you go run into the pantry to grab something crazy, just go, ooh, right now. It's happening. And the more you notice it happening over the next 7 days, the more you're going to be able to go, okay, I have a habit. I have a pattern. Every day at 3:30, I want a piece of chocolate and a cup of coffee. Okay, you know what? Every night after dinner, I have been like, oh, I just want cake. You're going to start to clock these things. Now, of course, to take care of these cravings, we're going to talk about how to deal with sugar cravings and after dinner cravings. And there are certainly dessert recipes in Eat Happy that have some sugar in them. And there are dessert recipes in there that don't have sugar in them. So I would advise for the next 7 days, you do not make one of the treat desserts. Save that maybe for day seven. Maybe it's going to be a Sunday. And you can make that for the family, make a nice thing. But for now, let's stick to 85% or higher cacao dark chocolate. Let's stick to berries, cream, or coconut cream if you can't do dairy. Let's stick to peaches are in season. Those are amazing. Saute those in some butter. Almond meal, pita chips, which are a savory cracker, but also, and one of the recipes is the sauteed peaches with the almond meal crumble, which is basically the almond meal pita chips, but without the savory and then adding in some sweet. Although that might have some sugar now that I think about it. I don't even remember. Anyway, I opened right to it. Let's see. Maple syrup. Omit the maple syrup. You're going to get like a cookie sensation, but without the sugar. So I'm flipping through. I actually have a hard copy of the book, but nobody else does yet. Oh, yeah, sauteed berries with mint whipped cream. That's a really good one. Almond butter cups is great. Vanilla extract, by the way, I got that question on Twitter. Just look on your ingredients if you can on the vanilla extract, because you basically just want it to be alcohol and vanilla bean. You don't want any added sugar. Okay, just putting that out there. A real vanilla extract should just be that. Although some of them pack in some sugar, I'm sure you're not surprised. Okay, moving on. Yes, clean out your temptation from the pantry and fridge. Okay. All right. Okay, let's talk about fast dinners. I said I would discuss my favorite 15-minute dinners, and I have 5 of them here. And as, of course, I was writing these up, you know me, over-explaining girl, I found more things I wanted to describe. So my favorite fast 15-minute dinners are done on the stovetop or the grill. If you want a fast dinner, it has to be done that way. If you have 30 to 45 minutes, you can introduce the oven, and that brings in more recipes you can use. And then if you have 1 to 2 hours, maybe it's a weekend or you're doing a slow cooker recipe, then you can introduce those really long recipes that have more components to them, like maybe the chicken tikka masala, the Pittsburgh turkey chili, roasting a chicken and then also making a wild mushroom and green bean casserole. Those are the carnitas. Those are the things that are the longer things. So let's talk about 15-minute dinners. Here are my favorites that I make probably too often, if you ask my family. Turkey burgers. I make the recipe for the easy turkey burgers, and I make Noni's broccolini. That is a very quick meal that you can make. At least once a week, I make chicken milanese, which is basically just the chicken cutlets dipped in the almond meal, with the zucchini Dijon sauté. I make the lemon Dijon basil salmon, because salmon cooks very quickly. If you want to turn the oven on for that one, that actually cooks very quickly, or you can do it on the grill. Some people have a gas grill, and it's really easy. Ours is not, actually. It takes more time. So our grill takes – we have the big green egg, so it takes a little more of an investment of time. But if you have a gas grill, you can just do this stuff on your grill so easily, and then do your veggies on the stovetop. So lemon Dijon basil salmon and the spring veggie sauté, put those together. Pan steak. I love a pan steak. The pan-fried bone-in ribeye steak recipe that's in Eat Happy, plus the ginger cilantro cauliflower rice. We're going to talk about substitutions later, but definitely investigate. I know that Green Giant makes it. I know that Trader Joe's makes it. There are bags of pre-cut cauliflower rice. You should be using these. You should buy them in bulk. You should marry them. They're wonderful. And then finally, this one's just slightly more involved in the prep, but because it's shrimp, it cooks so quickly. Coconut-crusted shrimp with mango salsa and the grilled halloumi and watermelon salad. You can tell I'm in a summery kind of mood because right now grilled halloumi cheese is in the Mediterranean stores and in Trader Joe's, and watermelons are amazing right now. So make coconut-crusted shrimp, mango salsa, and the grilled halloumi and watermelon salad. Delicious. Summery goodness. Now, here's what I buy. I buy every week at the grocery store. Let's say I haven't had time to think of a recipe or cook anything, or I'm not making anything for the blog that week. I will always buy either ground turkey or ground beef, chicken breasts or chicken thighs, a steak. I try to get grass-fed. Can't always get it. And then some sort of, I always get either salmon fillet or cod fillet or shrimp. I always at least grab those proteins because they're so universal, it's easy to make dinners with them. And there are plenty of other recipes that you can make with them in the cookbook if you don't want to make any of the things I just told you to. Now, if you have more time, 30 to 45 minutes, and that includes, you know, this is prep time and cook time, right? If you have 45 minutes, then we can get into the pizza crust, the fathead pizza and the cauliflower pizza. I'm going to give you guys a tip about the fathead pizza because somebody wrote to me yesterday, and it breaks my heart whenever somebody writes to me and says that the pizza crust didn't work, because it works. I promise you it works. So when the pizza crust doesn't work, if it gets too soggy, that's generally because you've undercooked it for the first round. It actually goes in the oven twice. You make the pizza crust and you pierce it with holes so that the heat and the air can get into the crust and cook it. And it's almost completely cooked. You don't want it to burn or anything, but it's almost completely cooked. Then you top it with your pizza sauce and your toppings, and you basically just put that in so it melts for about 5-10 minutes. You take it out, you eat it. We'll let it cool first. Okay, so here are some oven dinners. So we were just talking about stovetop dinners. Let's talk about oven dinners. My favorite that I think I make way too often and my family is sick of is the quesadilla casserole. And one reason why I love the quesadilla casserole is because we used to make quesadillas every week, and then when we cut out sugars and grains, well, I miss ooey gooey yummy Mexican food. Well, guess what? You can make it in casserole form. And you can have some left over so that if you do have some quesadilla eaters in your house, your kids maybe, you can still make them a quesadilla and they can split it and there's enough left over to make yourself a big casserole. Pizza with cauliflower tots is amazing. Lamb chops with the Brussels sprout leek casserole is amazing. The pistachio-crusted coriander salmon is amazing. Oh, and I know what I wanted to tell you guys, too. We talked about the proteins that you can buy at the grocery store. What about veggies? Buy what's in season, of course, but also, too, if you're in a pinch, you can't go wrong if you get some broccoli or broccolini, some zucchini, whatever veg you like. I always buy onions and red peppers. I always have those on hand. Basil I almost always have on hand. Red leaf lettuce or butter lettuce are my two favorite. Whatever your favorite salad lettuces are, I always have those on hand. Sometimes I like to make a second veggie with the dinner, and it's usually just a plain red leaf lettuce salad with balsamic dressing, which that recipe is in Eat Happy. Any vegetable, though, that you buy, let's say you buy a zucchini and you cut it up and you saute it in the pan, you can saute pretty much any vegetable. Oh, mushrooms. I buy a lot of mushrooms. You can saute any vegetable in the pan and stir up the balsamic dressing and top that onto, and you have an instant veggie side. And everybody goes, oh, my gosh, I love vegetables. The pistachio-crusted coriander salmon is also really good with the bacon broccoli. That is, bacon broccoli goes well with pretty much anything, let's face it. One note here, I know I've said this a million times on the podcast, but I just want to make sure that you guys know, no commercial salad dressings. Not even like Annie's, or what are some of the other brands where they, Newman's Own, where they are purportedly health conscious salad dressing brands? No. From now on, we're making our own. By the way, I'm going to do a demo on Facebook. I just made grilled avocado with an orange juice balsamic dressing, and it's so good. So I'm going to do a demo of that on Facebook Live coming up. So that's going to happen. I have to teach my husband how to hold the camera a little bit better. He did a great job. I was proud of him. Okay, so, and then, like we said, if you have 1 to 2 hours and you can do the slow cooker, or you're, it's a Sunday, or you're cooking weekend dinners, or maybe you're cooking a big load of stuff to be dinner for the next day, or maybe lunches for a couple of days to take into work. Pittsburgh turkey chili is great for that. By the way, you can always double these recipes. In fact, I recommend that you do. I had just myself and my husband and then Nancy Wolfson and her boyfriend over. That's just 4 grown-ups. But I had to make 2 sausage zucchini bakes, you know, in the big 9x13 pan, 2 of those to satisfy 4 adults, because that recipe is so deliciously addictive. People eat it, and they eat all of it, which is a compliment. That means they like it. I love on Sunday roasting a chicken for Sunday dinner and doing the wild mushroom and green bean casserole or the creamed spinach. Chicken tikka masala is wonderful. Jackie's split pea soup is amazing, and it makes so much. That's a great lunch thing. Portobello, simple beef and portobello stew. And then if you have these meals set aside, short ribs, pork chili verde is delicious. Another one that yields a lot is the barbecue, where is it? Hold on. I can't remember the name of my own recipe. The pulled pork barbecue. There it is. The pulled pork barbecue is delicious. And if you have this kind of set aside and portioned aside for other meals, you can then, all you have to do is reheat that and then just make a vegetable real quick. Vegetables don't take any time at all. So, by the way, when you're in the kitchen, you should always start with your proteins first, because those are the most time-consuming, and then do the vegetables at the end, or halfway through doing the proteins. Okay. Oh, by the way, roasting a chicken. Promise me that every time you'll roast a chicken, you will, after you pick the bird clean, you'll save that bird and you'll boil it in some water and make some chicken stock. Because once you make the homemade chicken stock, you can never find the store-bought that matches that flavor. So that recipe, the homemade chicken stock, is also in Eat Happy. Okay, let's talk good oils and bad oils. Now, hold on. I'm going to do a thing real quick. Danielle, hi. You can hear me. I just want to check in and see what's going on. Okay. Oh, Billy asks, will there be an Audible version of the cookbook? Yes, there will be. It will include extra stories. I am actually in the process of recording that right now, and my engineer is editing it, but we have to go piece by piece. But the main focus was just getting that hard copy done. What happened, guys, was that the printer The print-on-demand printer printed a decent book, but it wasn't quite the quality that it needed to be a competitive cookbook. And the paper wasn't doing the pictures justice, which is a bummer. So I had to find a printer. I have to prepay to get a bunch of them printed up. And that's what's happening. That's why it took so long. Found a printer. It's happening. We're just waiting for the book to be uploaded. Remember, guys, if you have any questions, email them to eathappycookbook@gmail.com. And Danielle's going to forward those to me, and we're going to talk about them. Okay. Oh, and I think there's a way that I can unmute people. You know what? If you guys have a question, if anybody wants to, how do you raise your hand on this thing? Hold on. I'm producing the teleseminar as I'm doing the teleseminar. Let's see. Hold on. Oh, well. I don't know. It's not. All right. Never mind. They don't have that option on this particular company. Yes, email your questions to eathappycookbook@gmail.com. Let's talk good oils and bad oils. We get this question so often on Twitter. I'm pretty rigid with the oils that I use. You guys know I love Villa Capelli olive oil, but I use coconut oil, and I use Villa Capelli olive oil and any other nice olive oil I purchased from a place that makes it themselves and doesn't cut it. You know what, peanut oil is fine. Sesame oil is good. You can't cook a lot in sesame. Sesame oil you would use for additional flavor. You put like a little bloop of that in your pan if you want to have a little Asian-inspired flair. Peanut oil is fine. Avocado oil is fine. Grapeseed oil is fine. I would just avoid, I feel like, oh, the nut oils are good. Walnut oil I've never cooked with, but I've put it in dressings. It's delicious. I personally don't use hazelnut oil or, what's the other one that I'm allergic to? Macadamia nut oil, because I'm allergic to them. But those are fine. You can use those. So, Izzy wants to be let in, but she's not going to get let in. She's not going to interrupt us. Okay, so those are the good oils and the bad oils. The bad oils are canola oil, cottonseed oil, sunflower oil, safflower oil. If you would avoid those four oils, you're going to be doing pretty good. Those oils, unfortunately, are used at a lot of restaurants. Now we've gotten trans fats taken out of most of the food chain here in America, but we've still got this issue of canola oil, and we still have folks who are thinking that that's good for you, and it is not. It will inflame you. It's not a healthy oil. Do not cook with it. Do not fry in it. Please, I'm begging you. Oh, another thing you can do, you can use butter. You can use bacon grease to cook in. You can use lard. These things are just fine to use. And again, we're coming back to the issue of I'd rather see you overeat a little bit in order to eat this way than to quit after a few days. So if cooking in a little bit of butter, cooking your eggs in some butter or some bacon grease inspires you, go for it. If that keeps you going, do it. By the way, this morning for breakfast, because people always ask what we have for breakfast, this morning for breakfast I fried 2 eggs in coconut oil, and I had a half of a banana and probably like a handful of blueberries, and along with my dairy-free bulletproof coffee. That recipe's at my website. And then people wonder, is that too much fat? And I'm like, well, if I'm hungry, I'm going to eat. So I have the coffee generally about 6, 6:30 in the morning, and then I'll eat the food around 8:30, 9, 9:30. So it's almost like breakfast is a snack for me at that point. And then I didn't have anything today until about 1:30. But if I were hungry before, I would have eaten. Oh, I know what I did. No. I did. I had a little bit of bacon and some berries at about 11:30, and then I ate lunch about 3:30. That's what happened today. Today was crazy. So those are your good oils and your bad oils. Let's see. Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about sugar cravings. Gosh, let's talk about alcohol and sugar kind of in one thing. I love alcohol. I love sugar. Does it mean it's good for me? Not necessarily. wine is a big question that we get. There are residual sugars in wines. There are drier wines, like Sauvignon Blanc is a dry wine. A lot of reds are actually quite dry, as long as you're not drinking a port or a tawny port. Wine is tricky. Here's why. Generally, if you love wine, you love drinking more than one glass of wine. At least I'm speaking about myself here. I might be speaking to other people. You might be hearing me right now. Other people might be like, who cares? Try to notice. Here's another thing to observe, another thing to kind of clock along with the sugar craving. If you are having a glass of wine or a cocktail every night, just clock that. Just notice that. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not unhealthy. I'm just saying if there's one serving of alcohol, or sometimes more. Sometimes we lie to ourselves and we actually have more. I didn't realize how much I was drinking until I quit drinking for 100 days, and I was like, oh, okay. I was having 1 to 2 drinks about 4 to 5 nights a week. And then what happened? When I didn't have anything to drink for 100 days, I was like, oh, that's interesting. There was an emotional component to wanting to have that relief of having the alcohol. Just like there's an emotional component to wanting to have the relief of satisfying the sugar craving. And it doesn't make you a sugar addict, and it doesn't make you an alcoholic, or it may, I don't know. But what it does make you is someone who's looking to solve an emotional issue with sugar or alcohol, both of which have sugar in them and could cause you to lose weight. All I'm saying is, if excess sugar is causing you to gain weight and you're trying to get your hormones and your weight under control, you might want to take a look at this stuff, because sometimes it's not just about having willpower to give up sugar or wine. Sometimes it's about, there's actually an emotional issue that I need to address, and that's individual. Who knows what that's going to be for everybody. But for me, I noticed, because you know me, I'm authenticity gal. I will tell it like it is for me. For me, I noticed by the end of the day, I was just worn out, and I was super cranky, and I was dealing with a bunch of bullshit, and I was tired of it. And so it felt good. I felt like this is my time to sit and have a glass of wine or to sit and have a vodka soda. And it felt really good to do that. And then when I made a commitment to not drink for 100 days, I didn't even notice that that was happening until I didn't do it. So all I'm saying is I'm asking you guys to just take a look and say, what's going on? Because generally there's something that you could address, and then you probably won't have the urge to drink or have the sugar as much. Hello? That's what we're all trying to get at, right? Anyway, I know that alcohol is a very sensitive topic, and I don't mean to take anybody's alcohol away. But if you are going to have some alcohol, let's be deliberate about it, shall we? Let's stick to, for now, distilled liquors. Distilled liquors, of course, being vodka, tequila, rum. Believe it or not, rum is a distilled liquor, made from sugar, but it's been distilled. The sugar doesn't pass through the distillation process. Whiskey, rye, what are the other ones? Scotch. What am I forgetting? The liquors that don't have any sugar in them. I'm not talking about liqueurs. Do not think that you can get away with having a shot of limoncello or amaretto or Chambord or Kir, what is it, one of the creme de cassis, you know, all of those are liqueurs, and liqueurs are liquor with sugar in them. That's not what I'm talking about. So I'm talking about distilled liquor with soda water. And then what you can do, because everyone's like, well, damn it, I want to mix the soda in, like a sweet soda. Here's what you're going to do. 5 flavor profiles. There's the 5 ingredients for the cocktail, right? In a traditional cocktail, there is the liquor, the liqueur, the citrus, the herbal, and the bitters. And that covers your flavor profiles in your mouth. And a really well-balanced cocktail will have those things. Well, guess what? We're taking away the sweet, but we can have everything else. So you can put lime juice in there. You can put herbs in there. I love you can mash fruit in there. You can muddle blueberries and thyme and put lemon juice in a vodka soda, and it's going to be delicious. You're not going to feel like you're missing out on anything. You can put mint and orange peel in an old-fashioned instead of the liqueur, and instead of any simple syrup, and it's going to taste delicious. You can put mash some strawberries, do some tequila, some soda water, some strawberries, and some basil, and it's going to be delicious. So remember that. Your liquor, some soda, and then we add it also, too, if you have bitters. I have different kinds of bitters, but it does help. You just put a few drops in. And so you have the liquor, the soda, and then some sort of either citrus for the tart, fruit, and what's it called, an herbal in there. So those are some good drink ideas. Oh, God, I got to drink some water, you guys. Okay, hold on. I'm checking the email for more Q&A. I'm turning my outline over. We still have more stuff to talk about. I'm taking a deep breath. I'm not used to talking the whole time. I'm used to having Vinny interrupt me, like, all the time, you know? I'm used to wanting to talk and wanting to be heard. And now I actually am, and I'm like, whew, it's a lot of work. Again, send your questions to eathappycookbook@gmail.com if you have any. If not, no big deal. I'm talking about a lot of stuff. I'm laying a bunch of stuff down. Okay, substitutions. When you cut out the sugars and the grains, of course, there are all kinds of tricks that we learn so that we feel like we're having nice comfort food, right? And these are good tricks. You know, we want to have tricks, but we don't want to trick ourselves in a false way. One of the false tricks in the low-carb community is using artificial sweeteners. I'm not a fan because what I'm trying to do is unhitch your taste buds from craving sweet. If we can unhitch from craving the sweet, you're going to taste other flavors in food that you miss because sweet has completely deadened your taste buds, I promise. I am literally that a-hole who's at a party now going, oh, my God, this strawberry tastes like candy, you guys. And everyone rolls their eyes at me, but I don't care because it's true. Once you've given up sugar, you're going to taste so much. Everything's going to taste so much better. Okay. Great. Okay, Danielle sent me another question. Thank you, Danielle. So here are some substitutions. So breadcrumbs and breading things is going to go out the window. We're not doing that anymore. No more breadcrumbs, folks. So almond meal is the popular substitute. You'll see in many recipes in this cookbook, they're almond meal coating. You can use coconut flour and then dredge in some egg wash and then mash some almond meal, and it makes a lovely coating. Almond meal I use in meatballs. Almond meal I use in anything where you need a filler, the sausage, lime, casserole. A lot of casseroles use flour to absorb the excess liquid, so everything kind of solidifies into a lovely, yummy, smushy casserole that everyone wants to eat. Well, we're not using flour, and coconut flour is a terrible, terrible absorber of liquids. Coconut flour will not absorb liquids. So don't try to replicate a gravy or a roux and think you're going to do it with coconut flour, because you're not. So what you need to focus on for that are things like xanthan gum, arrowroot powder, even chia seed flour, flaxseed meal. All of these things tend to thicken better and are low in carbs. Let's see. What else am I looking at here? Yeah, we just talked about soda water for alcohol/soda and all the tricks you can do. By the way, you don't have to have the alcohol. You can just do soda water. I know everyone's obsessed with LaCroix. I am too. But I make a soda stream was a good investment for our house. I think it was $99, and it kept us from buying giant pallets of San Pellegrino. And, in fact, now when I have San Pellegrino, I think it's not carbonated enough because I put the maximum amount of bubbles in my soda stream. That's me. I think bubbles are fun. Okay, so soda water, you can do the same recipes that I was just discussing. And, okay, thank you. Soda water, you can do the same things, muddle some fruit in there, put some lime juice, put a twist of orange, flavor it up so you feel like you're treating yourself. That's the point, you know. The big one that you guys all know, I'm sure, by now, the cauliflower for rice or potatoes. Cauliflower tots, very popular recipe on my blog. Of course, it's in Eat Happy. Shepherd's pie with cauliflower mash. where you're basically using cauliflower in place of mashed potatoes, and nobody knows they're just eating a heaping plate of vegetables. Haha, suckers. Cauliflower rice. I make a version of risotto that has cauliflower rice. Once you start eating this way, here's a couple things I wanted to address. Like the Pittsburgh turkey chili, the chicken tikka masala, are both recipes that you would traditionally serve over rice or pasta. And I'm not saying that you don't need those anymore, because I personally don't think you do. I'm used to just eating a big bowl of chili, or just used to eating a big bowl of chicken tikka masala and kind of drinking the broth because it tastes good, like a soup. But if you were dying to, you could make cauliflower rice or zucchini noodles, which is the last thing I was going to mention. Zucchini noodles in place of pasta. I'm surprised at how many people said they were catching flack for not eating pasta anymore. And I thought, hasn't pasta been kind of passed, I don't know, but hasn't pasta been poo-pooed on for a while now? I was surprised people were like, oh, you don't eat pasta? It's like, no. Like, hello? Anyway, I was surprised. Let's see. Zucchini noodles. Yes, zucchini noodles, for instance, in the zucchini mac and cheese, which, by the way, might be the cheesiest mac and cheese you've ever had. It has four kinds of cheese in it. This is for when you're serious and you have to have, like, mac and cheese. You need to make this zucchini bechamel mac and cheese. It's insane. It's insane. In fact, it's so much, I don't even think we've ever finished one, because there's just three of us in this household. We eat it for like 3 days, and then finally we're like, oh, God, I can't have any more cheese. It's amazing. Okay. So those are some of the substitutes. This is great. People are sending questions. Oh, great question from Dawn asking, is gin and diet tonic an acceptable NSNG cocktail? Jeez. I just feel like anything diet, you need to stay away from. Just, if you could retrain, because tonic, regular tonic has a ton of sugar and a ton of salt in it. That's what gives it its flavor. So obviously, you know that regular tonic is out. We're trying to replace stuff with soda water instead. I know, that's why I'm telling you guys to put in natural flavorings like the lime juice, muddle some fruit, do some herbs in there. You can mash mint or mash up basil in these drinks to kind of get you past the flavors. Gin has an interesting herbal profile, and really good gin. Well, no, I'm not talking about the juniper berry beef eater gin that we had in the 80s and prior. I'm talking about like really nice, high-end gin. You can taste like 13 different herbs. You can smell it. So gin has a really strong herbal profile, so you actually do want to mix in some citrus and some fruit with that, and you probably won't, and soda water, and you won't miss having the diet tonic flavor. And when you go back to tasting a diet tonic, it's going to taste like a chemical shitstorm, which is how most of food tastes. Dairy, I know that we didn't discuss dairy because I figure you guys are advanced enough, but let me tell you this, always use full-fat dairy whenever, if you're going to use dairy and stuff. Always err on the side of using the least processed version of something. I also want to address canned food. There's a lot of talk about canned food and BPA lining the cans, and I think they've been cleaning that out of stuff, but canned tomatoes are the easiest way to cook pasta sauces, marinara. It's the easiest way. You're more than welcome to boil tomatoes, peel the skin, or roast the tomatoes, peel the skin. You're more than welcome to do that, but canned tomatoes are just the fastest way. But please check the ingredients. Make sure there's no added sugars. Make sure they're not adding chemical preservatives. Make sure they're organic whenever possible. I can't hammer it enough about reading the labels. So, when you go back to eating something, as we were saying, or drinking something that's diet or low-fat, oh, gosh, what did I have a few months ago? It was a low-fat, oh, it was non-fat sour cream. It tasted awful. And I ate that for years. I ate that for years. That's what I was told I had to eat. Oh, so upsetting. That was a great, great question. Thank you. Okay, I just want to say this, and then I'm going to get another question here from Michael. Oh, yeah, crackers. You're going to miss crunchy things. You're going to miss it because a lot of this processed stuff is just processed, dried out, crunchy crackers, potato chips, pita chips, crunch, crunch, crunch. There is a food psychologist, I think his name is Mark David or David Mark, I can't remember, but he tells a story about the Lay's company in the 70s. And the Lay's company did a test, you know, when humans express aggression, they grit their teeth. And you can see it. You know where you see it? If anybody watches the amazing show on television, Shaws of Sunset, there's a guy named Mike who gets angry all the time. And he grits his teeth, like, and he looks like a caveman, and he's definitely juiced up, roided up. Mike gets angry, and he grits his teeth and shows his aggression. That is a human trait that we do, that we share with our monkey and gorilla brethren. And to express that anger, we sometimes use crunchy food, and the crunchy food helps us work out some anger. I guarantee you, if you notice sometimes that you want to go through a bag of potato chips, check in with yourself and say, am I pissed off about something? And chances are you're going to go, I am. I am very angry right now, and I want to crunch the heck out of these potato chips until they're all in my stomach and I feel sick. So you're going to miss some crunchy. Anyway, so the Lay's company, let me finish that story. The Lay's company in the 70s did a test to find out that perfect crisp point that satisfies that, I just want to crunch, I just want to, They did a test, and they found out the perfect crunch point, and that's the origin of the No One Can Eat Just One Lay's ad campaign. I found that fascinating and very telling of human nature. But, yeah, if you're going to miss crackers, if that's your thing, like for me, I love crackers and cheese, so that was a tough thing. You're going to want to make the almond meal pita chips. It's a very easy recipe to make. You might want to double it. It goes very quickly. And you just also, too, I always suggest having a ton of cucumbers, carrots, celery sticks on hand so you can dip and crunch and get that, work that shit out. I want to talk about real quick, what if I fall off the wagon? I was shocked at the number of people who are being very hard on themselves. You know, I got hundreds of responses from this survey that I sent out to you guys about a month ago or maybe a little bit longer ago. And I really appreciate you guys taking the time to answer because it gave me an idea of where everybody is and the range of what's going on with folks. And I was shocked at how hard everybody is on themselves. When I asked the question, how long have you, if at all, have you been doing NSNG or cutting out the sugars and grains? And people were like, 3 months, but I've been terrible lately. Or 6 weeks, but I've fallen off the wagon and I'm just failing. And I just want to say, if I can, Danielle is on the call right now. She taught me an awesome phrase. She said, don't kick the puppy. And I was like, what? She goes, whenever you say something bad about yourself, it's like kicking a puppy. And you wouldn't kick a puppy, would you? So don't kick the puppy. Don't say those things to yourself. Everybody, I mean, listen, in this conversation that I've had with you, I'm being honest. Like, there are going to be times where you want to just go to McDonald's and get drive-thru, where life is happening, where you just want to get rip-roaring drunk. There's going to be times when you don't have time and you're managing a family and you have to do this, that, and the other thing. And gosh, isn't the most depressing thing in the world when you're going through a drive-thru and you know how they have those trash cans and you're literally throwing out the trash from your drive-thru earlier in the day as you're ordering new drive-thru and you just feel awful about yourself. You're like, I can't believe this is where I am when I know so much. I've been on these calls with Anna. I've been listening to the podcast with Vinny, and yet this is where I am. And what I want to tell you guys is that it's okay. Just on the next meal, get right back on the train. That's all you have to do. You don't need to spend one iota of time kicking the puppy. You don't have to be mad at yourself. You don't have to do any of that. Just on the next meal, get back on the train. That is it. No need to curse yourself. No need to be hard on yourself. That's all I want to say there. Okay, Michael. Hold on. Let me take a sip of water. That's my rant. We're coming up on time soon. I might go a little bit longer. If you guys have to hang up, again, I will be recording this and sending it out as an MP3 for everybody to listen to. Wow, you guys have been on this call listening to me yap on and on for a long time. Hold on. Okay. By the way, that's the latest thing I'm paranoid about is drinking water out of the water bottles. I have a filter on my fridge, so I use that. But, you know, every time I drink a bottle of water, I'm like, what am I drinking? Am I drinking the BPA? I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. Anyway, Michael asks, I'm single. I work 60 to 70 hours a week. I've made some of the recipe and have way too many leftovers. I'm not adverse to eating it. I feel like we should all go over to Michael's house and have dinner. Okay. I'm not adverse to eating them, but I find some of it invariably ends up in the garbage. Yes, Michael, I just told you about the zucchini mac and cheese. We always wind up throwing a portion of that out because it's just too much. I have a food saver. If you don't have one, you should really buy one. Oh, what's a food saver? And I seal what I can to prevent loss. Do you have any recommendations along these lines? Absolutely loving you and Vinny for changing my life. This was the last step to thin and fit that I've been looking for a very long time. That's sweet. Thanks, Michael, and thanks for writing that awesome question. You know, it's so hard to do one of these calls because there, for every Michael who is working 60 to 70 hours a week, there is a Susie who has 5 kids and has to, like, make so much food and then every day and basically lives in her kitchen. And then there's, you know, somebody, you know, people, there's all walks of life. I, to be honest with you, Eat Happy, most of these recipes serve 2 to 4, except for the really big recipes, which I'm very clear too on the servings. So it mostly is for either it's mostly for a small family or even just a couple, you know, and then you want to have some leftovers. So some people out there might need to double the recipe. I wouldn't recommend cutting recipes in half because I find that that doesn't work very well, but I would recommend freezing stuff. I obviously don't know what a food saver is, and I need to find out what this is. So, Michael, you need to send me whatever link, and I'll, you know me, if you guys tell me to buy something off the Internet, I'm going to buy it. The other thing that you can do with things like the flamenquines, which is a pork chop hammered out thin with prosciutto on it, rolled up, rolled in almond meal, and fried in the pan. You could just make those a couple at a time. You don't have to make those all at once. Minnie's coddled egg. That's a good breakfast for one person because you can control how many portions you make. But yeah, you're gonna have to freeze some stuff if you're making huge things. I know I hate throwing away food too. Let's see here. But yeah, thank you for that. Ooh, Terry. Hi, Terry. Terry asks, I can no longer have dairy. One of my friends who has celiac disease can't either, but she eats goat and sheep cheese, and it doesn't bother her. Have you tried to eat either one of these? Yes, I have. I have tried. Manchego is, I believe, sheep's milk cheese. And every time I want to make something with manchego, that's how I justify it. I go, well, it's lactose-free. Oh, you know what? I recently did this. There is a type of full-fat yogurt that's only at the Erewhon grocery store, which is like a ridiculously expensive grocery store. But my friend had brought home a bunch of these, and it was just the yogurt with mashed fruit in it, no sugar, and it was the most and it was a sheep's milk yogurt. It was the most delicious taste, and I was like, "Well, it's sheep's milk. There's no lactose in it." For me personally, it still affected me. I got very, very sick. But I say this brings up a larger issue, which is a lot of people need to experiment. There are plenty of dairy-free recipes in Eat Happy, but there are also ones that are not that can certainly be modified. I give some instructions on that, but once you've been working dairy-free for a little while, you're going to know exactly what to do. And, of course, email me or tweet me if you have questions. I'm happy to talk about this stuff. But some people can't do legumes. Some people can't do different kinds of meat, but whether through choice or whether they're allergic. Some people can't do different nuts. That's me. I can't do hazelnuts and macadamia. So you have to listen to your body and what works for you. By the way, the macadamia nut allergy, I didn't know was an allergy until I was, oh, it was about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And I found out the hard way by having an anaphylactic response. I apparently had anaphylactic responses when I was younger and didn't realize it. I thought I had the worst heartburn of my life and that I was going to die. Turns out I clocked it those were times I had macadamia nuts. Yeah. So that would be a good time to listen to your body and experiment. Some people are going to find, too, if you plateau, if you give up dairy for like a week, sometimes that kind of jump starts things, and then sometimes you can reintroduce it. I gave up eggs. Eggs were inciting an autoimmune response in me. I gave them up for about 6 months, came back to them. I'm fine. I don't have the response anymore. So a couple more quick questions, and then I'll let you guys go. But this question came from so many people. One of the biggest complaints you guys get from people is that they say, but grains are healthy. What about whole grains? What about quinoa and whole brown rice, whole grain brown rice, and what about whole grain this and whole grain that? And you don't need it. That's the thing. You don't need it. It incites an inflammatory response in your body. Nutritionally, it's not the greatest. Vegetables and fruits have way more nutrients, fiber, phytonutrients. So why not just eat? And they taste better. Grains don't even have any flavor until you put it on. And by the way, you guys know that fat and seasoning are the carriers for all flavor in our food, right? So when you fry up a big juicy steak that's marbled with fat, you know what is the flavor in that? It's the marbled fat. That's what's the flavor. So that's why you season and you have fat in things, because that's what gives you the flavor in your food. Do whatever you can to stay the course. I know somebody asked on Facebook today, I saw a thread saying it's going to be, I call it corporate cake, when everybody has to gather around their water cooler and have cake for someone's birthday, which is sometimes, depending on what company you're working at, can be a very excruciating thing, or it can be a very fun thing, depending on if you like the people you work with. But people get really pushy with cake. I've noticed this, and I don't know why, we can't have a good time unless everyone eats the cake. It's like, just calm down. Just stand down, Maureen. Not everybody has to eat the cake. We're adults, and if you don't eat the cake, don't eat the cake. I know it's tough because you don't want to hurt feelings, and it's someone's birthday. I have an easy out because I have celiac, but it doesn't stop people from offering cake, and they can't help it. People can't help themselves. I get offered cake every time there's a cake from everybody. Don't you want a piece? Here, take the piece. Oh, wait, you can't have it. And then it becomes kind of an awkward moment, but whatever. They'll get used to it. So people will get used to you. You just set the tone and be okay with that. And remember what we said? If you do have a bite of cake, are you going to be mean to yourself? No. What you're going to do is you're going to taste that cake and you're going to enjoy it. And you're going to clock if it's really good or not. Because if it's not good, don't have another bite. And if it's really good, you can decide if that's worth it to you to have another bite. That's where you get to be in control. All right. We're going to end it there. Thank you all for joining me. I really appreciate it. Thank you for ordering Eat Happy. Please, please, please go on the Amazon page and write a review if you haven't already. I'm depending on all of you. You are my inner circle. I really appreciate it. The hard copy is going to go up for sale soon. I'm going to do another round of bonuses. There's going to be the same PDF bonuses, but I'm going to do another teleseminar where I go into some more detail on this stuff. So stick around for that, and thank you. I really appreciate it. And everybody, have a wonderful night.